So, yeah, you know, as Mitch was saying, I mean, you know, everything that we do nowadays, whether we're writing a blog and just traditional words, we're trying to get eyeballs on that blog. If we're trying to, you know, create a YouTube channel out here that has a whole lot of content on it for how-tos and different things like that, we're trying to get eyeballs on it. But in our situation now, we're going to be talking about podcasting specifically. I was reminiscing with Gary before we started tonight, and I did one of my first podcasts back in 2005. I mean, Apple was still trying to figure out how to do podcast, and, you know, iPod at the time was like the 20 gig white brick with the little spinny wheel in the front and, you know, the little black and white monochrome screen. You know, so it was really, things have changed a lot for us with what we've going, with what we've got to use nowadays for doing podcast. And so there's a lot that's going on. So what we're going to be talking about tonight is, you know, really once we've created that first episode, I love putting tape up here because back in the radio days, you know, you were a radio guy, weren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, you did radio, you know, standard terrestrial radio where they were recording tape and piecing it all together and all of that just analog stuff from the good old days. You know, so once we've got our first podcast out there, the big challenge then goes, how do we market this thing so that we do start attracting the people and start building an audience? I loved it. On one of Gary's sites, he's got quotes all amongst the pages of it, and I loved one of his quotes specifically that I saw when I was looking through his site today was, you know, having 100 great listeners to your podcast that are up there every week is the goal that we should be having. You know, we're not trying to get out there and have, you know, 40,000 people listening to our podcast necessarily, but if we've got 100 just great listeners that are engaging and commenting, liking, sharing, and all of that great stuff, that's kind of what our goal is when we're first getting started. I know you were talking earlier that you're, you know, you're struggling right now to grow your audience, and you've got, you know, 4 definitely good, solid listeners, and 2 of them are you and your husband.
Yeah.
You know, so how do we get out there and start growing that audience? So what we're going to talk about tonight is we're going to talk about optimizing it, we're going to talk about sharing it, repurposing it, and feeding it. The 3 areas that we're going to look at, or 4 areas, whew, I had to work on my math. And I'm also going to talk about some other things. As I have ideas, I may go over here and write something else on the wall so I can, hope you don't mind I did that in permanent marker.
No problem.
No problem. So we're going to also be talking about some influencers, and we're going to bring in Facebook Live because Facebook Live is really getting to be big. So the first thing that we really want to start thinking about is optimizing it. So when we're out there and looking at our podcast, we want to make sure that we're really making sure that our descriptions, our titles, all of that stuff is really optimized. I went out and did a little bit of research today, and we're going to pick on a couple of the folks in the audience today. First, I'm going to pick on Gary. How many of y'all have seen Gary's podcast on the Fixer Upper podcast? How many listeners you've got on that show now?
Probably in a 3-week period, I get 1,400 right now.
Okay. Yeah. You know,
I've only had the show 6 weeks. So
yeah. You know, 1,400 in 6 weeks. You know, this is a hot topic. And one of the reasons why I think that it's really being successful for Gary is we can see up here that he's definitely got Fixer Upper, which is a big term right now because everybody's looking at fixing up stuff. And probably everybody in this room has probably either watched several shows or has been forced to watch a show of the show that's on HGTV. I mean, it's a hot little show. You know, it's even made it to the Netflix feed, I think, for the previous seasons. And, you know, they're just doing some great things. And there literally is, as I was seeing in your description, they're putting Waco on the map. And, you know, it's fun because it is, you know, a Texas-based show. And it's just this fun show that they're doing all this great stuff. So Gary has done a really good job at keyword loading up his title and his description for this thing. So, I mean, he's literally got Fixer Upper in here. He's got, of course, his name, which he's got some clout since, you know, he is the big podcaster that he is. And, of course, he's also got Joanne and Chip Gaines, the host of the TV show on HGTV, to kind of steal a little bit of their SEO. So he's got some good things going on in that. And, of course, you know, Decorate DIY is another thing that people are out there looking for. You know, they're looking for DIY decoration ideas and things like that. So he's really feeding some of the search needs that people are working on. Yes, sir?
Is this
So this is actually his iTunes cover page, I guess. That's his main page on iTunes. So literally down below this, he'd have all of his episodes listed out below that. And so the main thing that we got to think about is making sure that we're getting in and really populating this stuff. Same thing when we get down into his description here. You know, he's doing the Fixer Upper TV show. He's got it in there multiple times. So when people literally go out, and I found this simply by just going into Google, because I knew he did this podcast, and just went in and did Fixer Upper podcast. And I mean, literally the first two pages were nothing but this show. And so, you know, he's winning the battle whenever people are searching for Fixer Upper, that he's competing with HGTV in the content that he's able to put out there. And so I think it's one of the big successes why he has 1,400 listeners already in the first 6 weeks that he's been doing this. Plus, it's a fun little show, and it's a real easy listen.
Are there issues with maybe confusion and people thinking that?
Well, my logo right there, if you notice, I say unofficial.
Unofficial Fixer Upper podcast.
And in every episode, within the first 2 minutes, I go, this show is not affiliated with HTV, the Gaines, or Fixer Upper TV. We're just a married couple who likes talking about the podcast, like the show. So it's pretty clear. There's no way anyone could go. If it went to court, there's no way they could go. Well, they were confused. They thought people were thinking they're listening to our show. That's not going to happen.
And in reality, you're driving traffic even to them, you know, because you're putting, I think I saw links in here to, I think it was down to some of the episodes where you were showing links to HGTV. So there was some really good stuff that he's doing with that.
We aren't trying to fool anyone at all.
Well, I was just wondering, even with, you know, how do you do that so that there isn't the confusion, you don't get into trouble later on with this, you know, you explode with your podcast and then these guys come looking for you.
Yeah, which I guess could happen, but
you're
I'm doing everything I can.
Coattails.
I talk to a lot of people who do TV shows for other things like The Blacklist and Once Upon a Time, what they were doing. And matter of fact, some of those are getting contacted by the TV companies and bringing guests on their podcasts.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. And I mean, even he has this in the last sentence here that he's even got a very clear disclaimer in his description that he's not associated with that. So now what I kind of do, and you're going to love this because it's that other podcast from Plano. This podcast, I dug around and found this one. I was thinking this was yours, but oh well, I tried. But and so I was going to have fun picking on this because absolutely their title is very, very limited in what they're talking about. You know, if I was to consult with them, I would tell them, hey, let's bring in the Tales of Curiosity and Character that they've got in their logo, let's bring that into the title of their show. And let's bring in more information about what they're talking about. Because they're actually going around and doing interviews of just different people, the mayor of Plano and different people in that. In one of the last episodes, they were talking about people who get up early in the morning. And they were running around interviewing people who were up early doing stuff in Plano. You know, so like they did an impromptu interview of one of the city council women who is up at like 3:30 in the morning and she's at the gym and she's going out for jogs and runs and all of this stuff early in the morning, getting her day going. And then she comes back and she does reading and blogging, or not blogging, but journaling and all of these things that she was talking about. And, you know, and one of the things that I think that they really need to do in this podcast is to go through and bring out the fact that they're bringing out what it's like to be in Plano. What are people doing? Where are they going? Where are they going to work out? And different things like that. And the funniest thing that in the episode that I listened to with them was that they interviewed a garbage man, or a sanitation engineer. and it was fun because, you know, he was talking about, you know, he's up and out of the house by 4:15 in the morning. He's at the yard by 5 o'clock getting his truck warmed up and making sure it's ready to go to get out and do the thing. And the trash guys actually love getting up in the morning because the roads are clear, there's nobody out on the roads, so that when they get out there and they start emptying trash a little after 7, they're already on their routes and just getting out there and doing the thing. So we're finding out what's life's like in Plano, and they aren't even talking about that in their descriptions. You know, they've got a lot of room in here to really talk about Plano life and the lifestyle and all of that inside of Plano. So think about how you can really go in and utilize the descriptions and the titles, because those are the things that are showing up whenever you go out and do a Google search or even a search on Apple iTunes or Stitcher, different things like that. That title and description is what's showing up. So you want to have the appropriate search food out there so that it's finding you. So the next thing we want to get in here talking about is sharing it. You know, we've already been talking a little bit as we were getting started tonight about Facebook Live. You know, there's a ton of stuff out here and a ton of different things that we can do to get out there and share our content. You know, we just don't create that podcast, you know, throw it up on Stitcher or iTunes and just let it sit there, right? You know, there's so much more that we've got to do to get out there and really market our shows. We've got to get out there and talk and come up with ways to get people interested in what we're talking about. And we just don't get out there and just, you know, tweet once about it. We don't just put it on Facebook once and just think, well, maybe somebody will see it and go through that. We got to get out there and really think about getting out there and really just sharing the full out of it so that we can say, okay, I want to go ahead and schedule up, you know, 10 Facebook posts and have this go out over the next 5 days, drumming up, you know, interest and you know, highlighting who was on the show and what the topic was and different things like that. Get out there and do things like that. And then, of course, after that 5 days, you're going to start 2 or 3 days before your next episode comes out and starts promoting that. You know, hey, this week we're going to be, you know, interviewing the mayor of Plano or whatever. And start promoting that so that people can start looking forward to it. And those are some of the things that we want to look at. So let's look at a couple of examples of some things that people are doing with social media. Gary's doing a great job on Facebook. He's actually gone out and made sure that he's got good cover art. He's got good description information and all of this. And so that he's got this information that looks like it's being generated from Lisbon. Because we got a...
Yeah, Lisbon, that's right.
Yeah. You know, so you've got some things set up there in Lisbon to go ahead and have this automatically thrown out here whenever you're uploading information, uploading new shows and things like that. You know, there's things like that that you can go ahead and do to get the eyes out there. Also think about when your audience might be actually looking to listen to things. You know, if you are, you know, I'll pick on that Plano show one more time. You know, here they are talking about getting up early in the morning. So, you know, maybe they need to be doing this whole little ad campaign around, you know, hitting people in the morning who might also be interested in other morning activities, whether it's this gym or going to this park to do a yoga thing or, you know, whatever it might be that's happening inside of Plano. Try and find out when your audience is looking at your shows and take advantage of that. You know, you can get on Libsyn and iTunes and see when your listeners are listening to your episodes, when they're downloading them, and different things like that. So make use of those pieces of analytics that you're getting back from some of these services to really use those to increase your audience even more and get more eyes onto that information. Another thing I looked at was one of Mitch's. Mitch is doing some just great stuff on Twitter, and that's probably why you're having a lot of success with Twitter. You know, so here he's got two different tweets that went out over the last 2 days. You know, he just posted on Twitter Monday, Tuesday, Sunday, one of these days.
On
the 5th. So on the 5th, he posted out that he just finished editing his latest podcast. And it's this new sci-fi show that he's been working on. And so he posted, and his audience is now looking forward to seeing that new episode coming out. And then, of course, when it went live, he's posted again on Twitter, and we've got a bit.ly link there that takes him over to so people can actually hear that show. So there's some really good things that you can do with even Twitter. Another one that I thought was really cool was another thing that you did with Pinterest. You know, he's actually gone in and created up these little graphics on Pinterest that's driving traffic for his show. You know, so down here he's talking about on this episode of the Sci-Fi Maker Show, I talked about affordable, even free alternatives to film school. You know, so for guys that are wanting to get into this stuff, I mean, we could get into a whole side conversation about those kids over in New Hampshire, was it, that created that whole show and then won this award in the UK and all of that stuff. You know, these guys are not going to film school nowadays. They're, you know, setting up their Mac Pro and getting all of the tools that they need and shooting, you know, whole full screen, high definition stuff with iPhones and all of this cool stuff. And so, you know, so he's talking about all of that stuff. So this is a way that you can actually get in and leverage Pinterest to start talking about it. Because think about it, all in Gary's situation, not Gary, Mitch's situation, you know, he's got all of these role-playing guys that are out here dressing up in all of this cos stuff and, you know, all of the weirdos at the Comic-Cons and all of that stuff. They love Pinterest because they can go out and get, you know, costume ideas and sword ideas and shield ideas and mace ideas, all these different fun things that they can go out and get these ideas because Pinterest is very, very visual. So let's feed them with some of that information from your shows and think about ways that we can leverage that. Creating these graphics is also another awesome thing to do with Facebook and even Twitter, to where you can go out and create a cover photo for your show, you know, saying, hey, this week on, you know, my Plano, what was your podcast again? Around Plano. You know, so you could go ahead and create a whole, basically an infographic of around Plano. This week we're talking about this subject, and this subject. You know, go visit us on, you know, iTunes or, you know, whichever service you're broadcasting on, and use those graphics so that you've got some visual stuff there and make use of that type of thing so that you can actually start adding to the audio some visual representations there. So you've got some great things that you can do inside of social media. So the next thing is we want to get out there and repurpose our content. You know, so we've already talked a little bit about social media and how we can get out there and kind of repurpose some of our show notes and pictures and things like that. But let's think more along the lines of what can we actually do on our websites. And I wish, I'm drawing a blank on his name. James? Julian. Julian was said he was going to be here tonight, so he missed out on me, you know, promoting him a little bit. You know, so he's got this whole thing that he's doing to where he's gone out and created this whole blog on his show. So Gary's doing some great stuff like that. Mitch is doing that, where they're actually going out and creating a blog post on their website so that they're putting some pictures from the show if it happens to be in a studio, or maybe he'll pull out a couple of screen captures if they were doing a Google Hangout or something like that, or even through Skype or something like that. You can pull some screen captures out and put some pictures up there of you and whoever you might be interviewing. And then go through and outline what's in this notes, because all of this text that we've got up here in this blog post is, again, more Google food that's allowing us to be able to get our content out there to say, hey, people, I've got this show on sci-fi, or I've got this show on Fix the Air Upward, or, you know, Plano, or whatever it might be. You know, so there's some really cool things that we can do in and around that. And then keep in mind that we can also share this blog on all of the social media sites. So you can take that same blog post, share that blog post on Facebook. And if you've got all that Open Graph stuff set up to where the image and a description and title and all that auto-populate, it works out very, very well for you to be able to get out there and just repurpose all of this content and this information. So there's a lot of really cool things that you can do with that. Here's another example of one that Gary has on his. And I think one of the neat things that Gary's done on this particular example of a blog post is, of course, he went through and talked about it, but he's given us all of our links in here for all of the locations that you can go listen to this or download it. And then, of course, he's also got a great bio in here that he's going in and mixing it up and even talking about his other websites in here so that he can cross-pollinate between his blogs and all of that. So there's a lot of cool things that you can do in and around that by repurposing your podcast by actually putting them in blog posts so that you can have some great content in and around that. Because you never know, you might be getting a whole different audience for people who are reading your blogs in comparison to who are actually listening to your audio. So it's another great way to be able to increase that. And then we've got, what was this one? This was cool. Become a better storyteller with these resources. I actually went out and did a search, and I think this is yours, isn't it?
Yeah.
This was one of your latest ones. I thought it was great because you've got this great infographic here. This would be a great graphic that he could go out and throw on Facebook or Twitter or Google Plus if anybody still uses that. And that way he could, you know, start repurposing in that. And then again, he's got all these the notes in here on what the talking points were in the show. So there's some, you can see how there's some great ways that you can repurpose this information all on your actual website through a blog. And then the last thing we want to be thinking about is feeding our audience. And specifically, are we talking about things that our audience really wants to hear about? You know, so in your Plano events, you know, I'm sure you're going to be covering the Balloon Festival. You know, that's going to be a big thing for you. We were talking beforehand about your new podcast. And we were saying, you know, and she's working on a podcast about the black community. Sort of along those lines, But, you know, in her situation, there's a whole lot of things that she could be doing. Like, she could go in and do a whole, you know, a whole series of podcasts that you can have canned up and ready to go for Black Awareness Month or week. And there's, you know, just a whole lot of just cool things that you could do in and around that. You know, maybe you could get out and find, even though this has already passed, but, you know, like Martin Luther King's birthday. You know, how cool would it be to go out and find some people that actually were there at the big march? And, you know, do some interviews in and around that to where you could have your own MLK episode. You know, a great example of this was when TX49, one of the TV stations here, back on the 50th anniversary of JFK's assassination, they did a big, massive blowout show where they broadcast for like 8 hours and just interviewed everybody that was still alive and went into the history and background and talked to people who were at the emergency room when JFK came in. They talked to police officers that were there. They went through and just did all of this great stuff, and they just, you know, totally just marketed it up on all the social medias, and they wrote blogs and all of this stuff, and it was just all this big event. So there's some really fun things that you could do around the specific things. You know, like you with your podcast, your Plano event stuff. You know, how cool would it be to get in a couple of weeks before the balloon festival and find you some of the balloon guys here in the area and talk to them about how they get prepared and ready for the balloon festival? What type of challenges do they have whenever they're getting ready for it? Do they have to think about weather and the wind and all of that stuff? You know, things that maybe not the average public would be thinking about that's behind the scenes of the balloon festival. Or even get in and talk to the city planners. You know, how much prep time are they working on? You know, are they starting to work on, you know, 2017's balloon festival the week after 2016's? You know, what kind of things, could be some interesting things there to where you could just have this whole lead up for, you know, the couple of weeks before the balloon festival, just getting everybody excited about it and learning more about it and, you know, different things like that, that you could go through and use that to your advantage. And then totally, whenever we're thinking about feeding it, you know, we can talk about Facebook Live now. I mean, the beautiful thing about Facebook Live is, like, you grab your phone, you run out to an event or something like that, and you can be live broadcasting right there with your phone. I've seen a lot of people at these events even doing Facebook Lives from the audience for the different things that they're doing with that. And they're really cool. And like Mitch was saying, these Facebook Live things are really cool. I actually was sitting in on a Social Media Houston lunch one day. I'm sitting up here in Dallas in my house drinking coffee watching the guy sitting down at Houston in a restaurant, and they're literally passing the phone around and just talking to everybody, but Facebook Live in it. So they Facebook Live this whole hour and 15 minute lunch that they were having, and they were all talking about current events in the social media realm, what people were doing and different things like that, which and very easily can be taken and used as part of your podcast content for that coming week or month. So there's a lot of really fun things that you can do to go through and do some really cool things with Feedient. Keep in mind also that there's a lot of other things that we can do with that. And so we've already mentioned the current event specifically. But, you know, think about what's in the news. If there's... you know, we could talk about the election. We could talk about the, you know, whatever's happening in the news at that particular time. You know, I know all of the social media is just crazy right now talking about Trump and his first 2 weeks in office and how many executive orders he's already done and this, that, and the other and all of that type of stuff. And that's the type of stuff that's just driving social media right now. In regards to what's in the news, or if we know that we've got a particular event coming up or things like that, we can get out there and be part of that news worthiness and talk about things that we're creating in and around our podcast to be able to be feeding what some of the news information. Product reviews. This is a cool one. If your podcast is dealing with, well, maybe like we'll use yours, Mitch, for example. You know, like, so maybe you're talking about a new, you know, prosumer level video camera, or, you know, maybe Red's got their new camera out and you have the opportunity to sit on a podcast or a
they do workshops, and sometimes the vendor might come into town to show it off to a user group or a group of professionals, and I'm sure that I could probably reach out to them. And
yeah, you can crash the party real easy.
Yeah.
And, you know, get in there and start recording some audio and just talk about it. You know, what's the pros and cons of this camera? Different things like that, that his sci-fi community would actually be interested in on what's going to be working best with all of the software that they're using for special effects and this, and how does it, you know, interface with audio equipment, different things like that. So, there, you know, product reviews can be a pretty cool opportunity to look for other content that you can be generating. And of course, you know, frequently asked questions and Q&A sessions. Some of the big podcasts that I listen to, I'm actually a little bit weird in some of the things that I'm interested in. And one of them is a very analog thing, and that is fountain pens. You know, good old-fashioned fountain pens. You know, getting the ink all over your hands and all of that fun stuff. I just love it. And I listen to fountain pen podcasts because they're talking about what's the latest pens coming out and what's this new ink that's coming out that has all this cool iridescence and sparkles and, you know, just weird nerdy stuff in a totally analog thing after sitting on a computer all day long. Or even a lot of the fountain pen shows around the country. They'll have, you know, post-show wrap-ups. They'll talk about, hey, we saw that this pen company has this new model of pen coming out, or one of the guys, they do a quarterly special edition pen where they have 100 pens made by one of the companies here in the United States, and it's a limited edition, and they drum it up, and so they talk about all of this stuff about, you know, what was the thinking behind it and all of that. So there's some pretty cool things that they could do. But one of the things that they specifically do with the fountain pen community is they literally do a once a month, they will do a Q&A session to where they have all of their audience post questions on Facebook and Google Plus and Twitter and post comments and questions in YouTube and all the different places that they're doing things. And they'll come up with, you know, 20 or 30 questions, and then they'll sit down and do an episode to where they just go through and answer all the questions that people have, you know, like, you know, what's the best paper to use, or you know, what's the best inks for this type of pen? Different things like that, that drives just a crazy amount of traffic for them. I mean, literally, they've got like 30 and 40,000 people that are tuning into these podcasts just for fountain pen related information. And it's this whole weird cult following out here. And it's interesting how even that, because of all of that, it's brought a new awareness to that very old analog industry, to where even our baby boomers, or not baby boomers, but our millennials and Gen Ys are getting interested in old traditional writing styles and learning how to do calligraphy and all of these things. And it's really interesting I've seen how podcast has directly been an influence on that, because they've been feeding a need that people didn't know that they had. They had created this audience based on that. Another fun area to look at is Google Answers. You've gone out to Google and you can ask Google questions. You know, how do I, you know, how do I
tie a bow tie?
Tie a bow tie. There you go. Bill Nye's got that market nailed. You know, great. That's a great example. You know, how to tie a bow tie. You know, you can go out and literally you're going to find about 100 videos that Bill Nye, the science guy, did on how to, I mean, it seems like every time he's a speaker somewhere, he always starts out and shows everybody how to tie a bow tie at a presentation he's at. It's really funny. But, you know, that type of stuff that people are looking for, whether it, you know, could be, you know, Gary could do a for his Fixer Upper show, you know, he could go out and do, you know, a how-to on what's the best way to arrange 6 pictures on a wall. You know, that's a question that a lot of us have. You know, what spacing do we use? You know, you see those people that can just go up there and throw pictures on the wall and they look gorgeous. And then I go up there and I throw them up there and they're just like, yeah, this ain't working. You know, so there's things like that that we can go up and do and just cover those, some of those basic questions. Because next time you, whoops, what am I doing over here? You know, go out and actually go out and do some Google searches. We'll just do one here real quick. So if we go up here and do a Google search, you know, how do I, I'll just let this give us some examples. You know, how do I take a screenshot? Maybe that's something that, I mean, that's something that somebody's asking a lot of right now. You know, how do I get a passport? How do I renew my passport? These are all questions that Google is being asked frequently that you might be able to tie that into your podcast. You know, so maybe you're going to tie it into, you know, hey, maybe you're going to be traveling and, you know, now that it's summer for Plano, you know, lifestyle kind of stuff, you know, how do, where's the best place to get your passport in Plano? What's the process for that? You know, go through and just do a short little 5-minute segment that you could put up into one of your podcasts to talk about some of these commonly asked questions. So just go into Google and start asking, how do I? And you can come up with some really interesting things. Think around your particular industry that you're creating your podcast for. You know, whether it's, if I remember, you're doing some holistic type stuff or...
Yeah, creativity, spirituality.
Yeah. You know, so, man, you have a ball asking lots of questions, you know. How's the best way to meditate? Or how's the best way to... you know, what's the best music for, you know, having a Zen moment or, you know, different things like that that you could go in and answer some of those how do I questions.